Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama,
Hare Hare. Are you okay? Did you get enough prasadam? I hope there was a problem. Chanting, dancing and fasting. That's our program. Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is in charge of the kitchen. So I heard there wasn't enough prasad, is that right? Something. So it means something. I don't know. Maybe it means we weren't talking about her enough. Anyway, I don't know, but it means something. Srimati Radharani ki. Srimati Radharani ki. Srimati Radharani ki. Shri Radha Swami Mahotsava ki. Shri Mahotsava ki. Well, I thought we could begin by reading a poem by Sri Rupa Goswami. Sri Gandharva Artanashtaka means eight prayers to Srimati Radharani. And just so, hopefully, you are sort of tuned in and ready. I thought I would read the last verse. There are eight verses, but then there's a ninth verse. There's a ninth verse which is, it's called a phalastuti, or a prayer, which describes the fruit, the result of reading that particular, in this case, poem, or sometimes you get in narrations, like scriptural narrations. At the end, you get some fellows who can say, anyone who reads this or hears it very nicely, they'll get some wonderful result. So, here, this is the Gandharva Pratanashtika, eight appeals, eight prayers to Gandharva, Srimati Radharani. But then, like I said, there is this ninth verse. Listen to this. Whatever surrendered devotee reads or hears these eight appeals to the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, she, along with her beloved, happily splashes with waves of mercy. Did you get that? Anyone who reads this nicely, hears it nicely, then Srimati Radharani, along with Lord Krishna, her beloved, happily splashes that devotee with waves of mercy. So it is in Sanskrit, but I'll just read the English translations of these eight verses. So this is Sri Rupa Goswami praying to Srimati Radharani. Please reveal the lotus faces of you both as with the enthusiasm of two maddened elephants We will enjoy pastimes and the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. O Queen, please be kind to me. Please be kind. Falling down like a stick on the ground, distressed and stammering with words choked with emotion, I beg you, O Queen Gandharika, please be kind to this foolish person and count him as one of your associates. O beautiful one, when shall I worship you? Your intense beauty, leaving the goddess of fortune far behind, and your transcendental form, bowed by the left arm of Lord Shyam, who charms all the worlds with his handsomeness, far greater than that of Lord Narayan. O Queen, when, covering you with a cape as splendid as a monsoon cloud, and removing your ankle bells from your feet, will I lead happy you to a splendid forest grove at night for a meeting with the Prince of Raja. When, as you, the two ornaments of the three worlds, recline on a pastime bed of flowers and enjoy pastimes of sweet joking words, will this person massage your lotus feet? O Queen of Vrindavan, when the two of you stay under a tree by the shore of your lake, and your handsome lotus faces kissed with perspiration from the fatigue of your pastimes, will I fan you both with a chamar of wits? When, as you playfully hide in the forest cave, and Chitra hints that now, a beautiful eyed one, you are trapped by Mukunda, and I say, don't lift your eyebrows, will I lead you, as you feign anger, into the presence of the Prince of Raja? When will I see you as, after defeating the Prince of Raja in a playful verbal duel, intoxicated with happiness and speaking many proud words, you are elaborately praised by your blossoming friends? When will I see you like that? Whenever surrendered devotee reads or hears these eight appeals to the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, she, along with her beloved, happily splashes with waves of mercy. Shrimati Radharani ki. This is very deep. It's all very deep. In reality, there may be a tendency, and if it's better than I say, it's not bad. There may be a tendency to see the pastimes and what happens in them in terms of the amusing features which are sometimes there or even often there. And in that way, there's a nice descriptions, we like them, but at the same time we miss, somehow we don't really perceive the depth which is there, because they are the deepest. As we mentioned earlier on, after the Abhishek, Srimati Radharani is the pleasure potency of the Lord. She is the sum total of God's capacity to enjoy pleasure, to experience happiness. This is from our perspective here in this world, this is really quite inconceivable. But at the very least we can say it's really very deep. Extremely deep, and there's a lot of very deep meaning there. There's a lot of great transcendental significance in the sense that we are trying to learn how to give Krishna pleasure. And Srimati Radharani, she is that. She is the embodiment of that. So we learn from her, and in our humble ways, if we learn how to follow in her footsteps, then we can become successful. We can actually please Krishna, and in this way we may perfect our lives. Let us now initially just mention a little something about how Srimati Radharani appeared within this world. Like many things in Krishna consciousness, it is a long story. It is a very nice long story, but it is a long story. But basically, the time was coming, 5,000 years ago or so, the time was coming, and Krishna was preparing, and his various close associates, they were all preparing. We are going to appear on planet Earth in the four-headed Lord Brahma's universe. Yes, in that dark material world. But we're all going to appear there and light up this dark material world with glorious transcendental pastimes, and through teaching glorious transcendental lessons. So everyone was preparing. However, a problem arose. Srimati Radharani approached Lord Krishna just as that the time was about there, almost time to leave, and Radharani said, "You know, I don't think I'm going to come, because it's the material world, and I know we'll have pastimes there, but still, it's the material world, and I'm not very keen on having to see the material world, and hear the sounds of the material world, and have to speak material things to materialistic people. So I'm thinking of not coming." Lord Krishna said, "Don't worry, my dear Srimati Radharani. I give you a blessing that, well, because when the Lord appears, and when Radharani appears in their different incarnations, Sita Ram, for example, they didn't see each other for many years. Then they saw each other only at the Swayamvara, that special competition that was there for seeing who would win the hand of Sita in marriage. But until that time, a number of years, 20 or 30 years perhaps by our standards, they did not see each other or hear each other. And Sita was there with her family, but still, it's a little difficult dealing with the material world." So Radharani was complaining there to Krishna that, "We've appeared before many times, and I know after some time eventually we get together and everything's nice from that time on, but until we meet I find it difficult, so I don't think I'm going to come." And Krishna said, yes, all right, well, I promise you, I give you a blessing, a boon, that until we meet, you will not see anything material. You will not see anything. You will not hear anything. And you will not speak anything at all. Because when you appear, you will be apparently blind, apparently deaf, and apparently dumb. In this way, in these ways, we will spare you from having to undergo all these different experiences, which you have done in our previous appearances. And Radharani said, well, that's nice, but how long am I meant to be blind and deaf and dumb? If it's going to be 20 or 30 years till we meet, then I don't think I'm going to want to come anyway either. So there. And Krishna thought momentarily and said, don't worry. I will arrange that we meet within days of your appearing. So don't worry. So Radharani said, all right, I'll come to planet Earth. So like we said, it is a bit of a long story, and it is a little complex. It is the very earliest parts that are described in Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava, that first of all, Srimati Radharani and her sister Chandravali, they're actually sisters. First of all, they entered the wombs of the wives of Vrishabhanu and another Vrishrasi called Chandrabhanu. The two of them entered the wombs of those two ladies. However, as happened with Lord Balaram, initially he was in the womb of Devaki. He was in the womb of Devaki. But then his natural relationship is with Rohini. So after some time in the womb of Devaki, Lord Balaram was forcibly transferred to the womb of Rohini, and it looked like a miscarriage for Devaki. It looked like she lost her child somehow, prematurely. But actually it was a special arrangement, and Lord Balaram went to the womb of Rohini. Of course, in the case of Lord Balaram, we know that there was also another consideration, was that as a service to Krishna, knowing that Krishna was going to appear any time in a matter of weeks, Lord Balaram wanted to go into the womb of Devaki, which of course, that was where Krishna was going to be spending some time and then taking birth from. So Lord Balaram entered the womb of Devaki to check the situation out. Because he's an illusion that the devotee wants to see. Is everything working in here? Is everything in order? Sometimes we come back from traveling for some weeks or months and we go into our room and some things are not working. cockroaches come crawling out and wave. Sometimes the air conditioning is not working, and then we have to get those things resolved. So Balaram didn't want that Krishna would have to go through something like that. So he spent some time there to get everything working nicely. But anyway, you know, we're talking about Kirtika and the wife of Chandrabhana, whose name I forget offhand actually. So initially, Srimati Radharani and Chandravani entered the wombs of those two ladies, but Rupa Goswami explains that at the request of Lord Brahma, Yoga Maya transferred them both to the womb of the wife of the Vindhya Hills. Hare Krishna. The wife of the Vindhya Hills. Vindhya Hills are very important hills, or sort of like a mountain range in southern India. And that Vindhya, he had prayed to have a son, or he had prayed to have daughters whose husbands would be superior to the husband of his relative, the husband of the daughter of his relative, Himalaya. Did you get that? The daughter of the Himalayas is Parvati. Her husband is Lord Shiva. There has been a long-standing sort of competition between the Himalayas and the Vindhya Hills. Who is better? Who are better mountains? And Himalaya got this benediction, and his daughter Parvati got married to Lord Shiva. So Vindhya wanted to have, first of all, two daughters, not just one. And that the husbands of the two daughters would be superior to the husband of the one daughter, Parvati of Himalaya. Did you get that? We didn't get it. Come back next year. We'll go through it again. So, yes. So then, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, at the instigation of Lord Brahma, Radharani and Chandravali were transferred from the wombs of those Vrijvasi ladies to the womb of the wife of Vindhya. And then they were born there as the two daughters of the Vindhya Hills. Vindhya Hills, and we don't really say Vindhya Mountains because, you know, never mind a few complications. I mentioned there's this competition between Vindhya and Himalaya. Agastya Muni is very close to Himalaya. Very close. So Agastya went to Vindhya one time and said, listen, you must offer me your obeisances. So Vindhya did, because Agastya Muni is a great saintly person. So now he's offering his obeisances, and he asks Agastya, okay, can I get up now? And Agastya said, hang on, I'll be back shortly. As soon as I get back, you can get up again. But he never came back, because he's, you know, working in sort of cahoots with Himalaya. So therefore Vindhya is lower because he's offering obeisances permanently, which is a pretty good position to be in, really. So they were born there, Radharani and Chandravati. However, on the first day that they were there, after they appeared, you know what happened? They were kidnapped by Putana. Yes. Rupa Goswami describes all this in some detail in the first act of Lalita Radha. Putana kidnapped Radharani and Chandravali from Vindhya, from their place down there in South India, and flew away with them. Because after all, when Krishna appeared, Kamsa ordered Putana and various other demons kill all the children who've been born in the last few weeks. And it wasn't just in Vraja, and it wasn't just the boys, but all the children. So Putana was flying around, all around India, trying to find their little children, and then carry them away and then kill them. So she kidnapped Radharani and Chandravati, and she's flying away. She was going to land somewhere and kill them, but the priest of the Vindhya Hills chanted some demon-killing mantras. Demon-killing mantras. And Putana, she's not just a demon, she's like a super demon. She wasn't killed, but she became very disturbed. So, flying away over Vraja, she dropped Radharani and Chandravali. They landed in the Yamuna. As a result, the appearance found them floating on lotuses in the Yamuna River. Yes. So this is the story. And then they went floating past Rabal, which is on the eastern side of the Yamuna, kind of southern part of French Mandala. Across the river from Mathura and a little further down. So Vrishabhanu found Radharani floating in a lotus on the Yamuna and adopted her. Although the fact is, as we mentioned, Rupa Goswami makes it very clear, initially she had been in the womb of Kirtika, the wife of Vrishabhanu. Anyway, so they found this girl. Vrishabhanu found this girl and brought her home to Rahul and said, "Look, what a wonderful, wonderful little girl. Just newly born, just one or two days old. Let's just accept her as a child." She was anyway. So Kirtika was very happy. So there they had now this blind, not exactly blind, but her eyes were sealed closed girl. And apparently she was deaf, and she couldn't say anything, couldn't make any sounds. So, then Narada Muni appeared on the scene. Narada Muni appeared on the scene. I mean, there's more to it also. There were various other of the gopis who Putana had kidnapped. And when Krishna killed her, they found those gopis on the chest of Putana. But anyway, next what happened was that Narada Muni came to Vraja because he had heard that Krishna has appeared. So Narada Muni came to Vraja and visited Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and had darshan of little Krishna. And he was so ecstatic to see Krishna. And Narada was thinking, where is Radharani? She must also have appeared. So what Narada Muni did, he went around asking, who has had a daughter recently? Who has had a daughter? And he found Maharaj Vishwanatha and Kirtita. They had this daughter who they had found. And so Narada Muni came in and he saw, this must be the girl. This must be Radharani. But look, her eyes are still closed. She can't really hear anything. She can't make any sound. What is the situation? What is wrong? And he asked Mother Kirtita and Maharaj Vrishabhanu to leave the room. They left the room. And then Narada spoke to Radharani and said, please show me yourself as you really are. And Radharani manifested a teenage form, Kishori form. And all her, a number of her intimate, guilty friends, they appeared also. And Narada was very happy and he left. And then immediately the gopis disappeared and Radharani again was very tiny. So a few days later, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, hearing that Kirtita and Vrishabhanu have just had a child, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda went there to visit. And they took Krishna. Now Krishna at this point, because they are approximately 2 weeks old, give or take, a couple of days here and there. So Krishna at this point, he cannot crawl. Because, you know, even when Krishna was 3 months old and the Shakatasura pastime happened, Krishna could not crawl. And he was just lying there under the cart, and he got very upset. So certainly here, 2 weeks or so, maybe 3 weeks after he's appeared, he can't crawl. There are different versions of what happened. But this seems to be more in keeping with the sort of the practicalities at least, that Mother Yashoda was sitting there with Krishna on her lap, and Kirtita picked up Radharani and, well, you know what mothers are like with their little children and other little children. Everyone was so happy. Oh, what a beautiful little boy. What a beautiful little girl. Oh, just ecstatic. And Kirtita passed Radharani to Mother Yashoda, who then had had Krishna on one side of the lap, Radharani on the other, so they're right next to each other. And Krishna, of course at this point he shouldn't really be able to say much, but Krishna, seeing Radharani, he called out, Radhe, Radhe! What did he call it?
Radhe, Radhe!
Well, that's not too bad, but not too bad. What did he call out?
Radhe, Radhe!
And Radharani heard the transcendental sound, opened her eyes, and saw Krishna. and called out, Krishna, Krishna!
Krishna, Krishna!
Get serious about it. Krishna, Krishna!
Krishna, Krishna!
So like this, Krishna fulfilled the desire of Srimati Radharani. It was very quick. It's like a couple of days after she's appeared, a few days. And the first thing she hears is Krishna's voice. The first thing she sees is Krishna. And the first thing she says is Krishna's holy name. So, and then from that time on, Krishna was the only person that she knew or thought of or spoke of or anything like that. So it was really nice. So like this, Srimati Radharani appeared. And if you go at this time to Rabal, the appearance place, you'll see they have a nice like a cradle, a swimming cradle, little Radharani there with her eyes closed. It's really nice. Yes, so. There's so many pastimes, where to begin this? It's really hard. Krishna, you know, Krishna's childhood, those pastimes are all with Radha Yashoda Maharaj. Krishna's early youth, like Pulganda period, we say, 5 to 10 or 5 to 12, sorry, 6 to 12. That's mainly with the cowherd boys. And mainly he starts associating with the gopis, mainly, not entirely, but mainly, in the Kishore period, which is like 12 to 16, something like that. So the main pastimes we find, where Srimati Radharani is really prominent, they are with Krishna in that Kishore period, where Krishna really, his main activity becomes the cultural pastimes. However, before, even during the Pulganda period, there are certain pastimes. One time in the Pulganda period, Krishna, wanting to meet Srimati Radharani, disguised himself as a female poet, or rather, a female doctor, and also a female poet, but here, a female doctor, like a young doctor, a female doctor. And came over to Radharani's house and, oh, I would like to check your daughter because I'm a young doctor. And so started feeling the pulse, this is the traditional method, and saying, yes, that's good. I need to feel also further up your arm. And I need to feel different places. And Radharani, this is according to Rupa Goswami, was asking her friends, why is this doctor touching me in these places? It seems very strange. A doctor never touched me like this. But this is the awakening of the conjugal relationship. Then also, during that period, one time, while Krishna was mainly herding the cows, One day, Radharani and the gopis, they're walking through the fields, and who should they meet but Devasamuni? Actually, this is right at the beginning of the Kishore period, so their relationship is really starting to blossom. So they're walking around in the vicinity of Tiakadamba, and who should they meet but Devasamuni? Devasamuni is very famous sage, saintly person, mystical yogi, you could say. But, so you know, he's well known for being very powerful. However, he is very well known for being very sensitive to how he is treated. In fact, we do a seminar on the demons in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, and there's 21 of them, basically. About half of them became demons because they were cursed by Devasamuni. This gives you some idea. He's really sensitive. You look at him the wrong way, something, and before you know it, you're cursed. So Radharani and the gopis are out there, and they're wandering in the fields, in the vicinity of Tiakadamba. And who should they meet but Devasamuni? And it was really hot day. And Devasamuni had been walking through Vraja. He was really hot and thirsty and hungry. And Devasamuni said to the gopis, "I would like something to eat and drink." And the gopis said, "No problem. We will run back home and we will get a feast. Bring it back, we'll be back in half an hour. And you can have a big feast with all sorts of nice drinks and everything." And the Devasamuni said, "Actually, girls, I want something now. Not South African now, but now, actually now." And the gopis understood, "We're in trouble. We have nothing with us. How can we feed him anything? We are going to get cursed. Oh no." So Radharani said to Devasamuni, all right, I will make you some special Vraja biscuits." And she picked up some dust, and she had a little bottle of Yamuna water. She mixed some Yamuna water with the dust, sort of kneaded it a bit or whatever, and made a little mud biscuit, and said to the Devasamuni, "Here, take this." And the Devasamuni looked at it. "You seriously want me to eat mud?" And the other gopi said, no, try it. She's very clever. And Devasa was so hungry and just famished and fatigued, he tried it. He took a nibble, you know, like a little tiny corner. And he found, wow, it's amazing. And then he ate the whole thing. Gone. And then he said, "Can I have another one?" So Radharani made another and another and another. And Devasamuni had a feast of Vraja biscuits. Now when you go there, if you want, you can try and make it right. But, you know, Radharani, she is the queen of the kitchen. She can make anything taste good, even mud. So, the Vasamuni, he just ate these biscuits and ate them and ate them until he was full. And then he was so happy, he blessed Radharani. Gave her two blessings. I bless you. Whatever you cook will taste like nectar. And whoever eats your cooking will never become sick. So the word got out when the gopis went back. They told everyone. The word got out. So from that day on, Mother Yashoda arranged that Radharani would come and cook for Krishna every day. Every day. Midday and in the afternoon. So every day she comes from Yavat, walks all the way to the underground, then walks back, and then comes back again just a little later to cook some supper for Krishna. You know, of course, she doesn't really need Devasamuni's blessing that whatever you cook will taste like nectar. You know, if you can make some mud biscuits and they taste like nectar, then you don't need any blessing, do you? That whatever you cook will taste nice. Yes, yeah, so this is famous pastime, how Radharani was blessed. So then, A little after that, Mother Yashoda became really inspired. I want Radharani to marry Krishna. That's what I want. And she's the queen. So I want Radharani to marry Krishna, and Krishna's coming. I mean, Radharani is coming twice a day and cooking all these amazing things. You know, I can't imagine what her beans taste like, but it must be just something incredible. So she would come every day, and Mother Yashoda would see her every day, and Mother Yashoda's associating with her every day, and it's just really nice, and Radharani is even nicer than she thought she was, and just like amazing. And Mother Yashoda is becoming more and more and more convinced this is the girl for my Krishna. So in Vedic society, and according to Vedic customs, there are all sorts of different stages in the course of a young boy and young girl getting married. It begins, you know, there's all sorts of different phases. The first phase, at least according to Vraj culture, the first phase is the boy's mother puts haldi powder, turmeric powder, on the hands of the girl. I mean, you know, it's acknowledged between the families. They've already met and it's agreed, okay, the marriage will happen. But then the next thing, the boy's mother puts turmeric powder on the girl's hands. So one afternoon, Mother Yashoda said to Radharani, listen, I'm going to put turmeric powder on your hands right now. And Radharani, of course, she also wants to marry Krishna, of course. But Radharani said, well, wait a minute. You know, shouldn't we speak to my mother first and get her to agree, and wouldn't that be the best thing to do? And Yeshua said, well, we already discussed it a bit, so I don't think it's a problem. Let's just do it. And she grabbed Radha Rani's hands and just covered them in turmeric powder, just really covered them. And Mother Yeshua was so happy, really happy. And then Radha Rani had to walk back at this point, Bhajan. She had to walk back to Bhajan. Because sometimes she stays in Bhajan, sometimes in Yavat, after being married. But anyway, so she had to walk back to Bhajan. And she's walking back with Lalita and Vishakha, who are her two closest friends, and saying to them, don't you think we should have spoken to my mother before I had all this turmeric put on my hands? And Lalita and Vishakha, they're agreeing, well, it probably would have been better. And they're almost back. And Radha Rani decided, I have to wash it off. I can't go in front of my mother like this. Without her permission, I can't do it. I have to wash this off. How am I going to do it? So, there was a kund nearby. Just at the base of the hill of Bhajan, there's a kund there. And Lalita told Radha Rani, let's go into this kund and wash our hands there. So then they went, and there was this beautiful, beautiful kund. It is still there. It's very nice. This beautiful kund with rich, dark blue water, clear, like translucent, dark blue color. And Radha Rani now is washing her hands in the water and looking in the water and thinking, that water, it's the color of Krishna. And washing her hands, and the turmeric is going into the water, and she's meditating on Krishna and thinking of Krishna. And Radha Rani's color, of course, is a golden color, something like turmeric to some degree. Golden color. Actually, that gold is the color of her love. Radha Rani's love is like molten gold. That's why she looks like molten gold. Because she is just the embodiment of love for Krishna. So she's washing her hands and washing and washing. And all the turmeric went in. And she's looking at the dark blue water and thinking of Krishna more and more. And her love for Krishna rising more and more. And then all the turmeric was off. But her golden color started entering the water as she's meditating like this and washing her hands, even though all the turmeric is off. So Radha Rani's love, in the form of a golden color, entered that kund, and gradually that kund became gold. Golden colored, just like Radha Rani, and just saturated with her love for Krishna. So then they said, okay, your hands are clean now, let's go back. Off they went, up the hill to Bhajan. And who should come but our hero, Krishna? He's never too far away. So Krishna came. Krishna came. And he was thinking, where did those girls go? They went by that kund there. He went in and saw the kund, which was now an effulgent golden color, and which was the love of Radharani. And Krishna knelt down and he started looking into the kund, and he became overpowered by that loving mood of Radharani, which was just pervading all the water there. And he became dizzy, as he does often when he's really being exposed to the love of Radharani very strongly. He became overwhelmed. He fell into the kund. And now he's swimming in the love of Radharani. And it just started penetrating his body. And before Krishna knew it, he started manifesting the loving mood of Radharani. So he fell in, dived in, he's swimming in, and then he came up, and you know what he was shouting? Krishna! Krishna!
Krishna! Krishna!
Oh, not like that. And he himself was now a golden color because he had, Radharani's love, and he had just absorbed it all. And this is the original appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Anyway, he came out and went, and you know, it all, he came back to normal after a while. But that kund is there. It is called Pilipoka, or the yellow kund. It is there, near Darshanam. Now, I thought, well yes, Radharani, Krishna appreciates Radharani so much. Krishna is always following Radharani. He is focused so much on Radharani. And Krishna worships Radharani. Krishna worships Radharani. One time, when Radharani was married to Abhimanyu, Jatila became disturbed that my daughter-in-law, she's always going out, and when she goes out she meets Krishna and they get up to some nonsense, and I've had enough and we're not going to have any more of that. So she told Radharani, that's it. You are going to stay inside your rooms in Yavat for the rest of your life. So of course Radharani was very distressed. And Krishna was also very distressed. So Krishna was thinking and thinking, how can I meet with Radharani? I must meet with her somehow. Krishna disguised himself as a female, what do they call it? Mandi. Mandi, is that right? Mandi? Sophisticated gopi dolls. Something like that. Yeah. Decorations on the hands, arm, on the feet. So Krishna disguised himself as a female Mandi artist and came to Yavat and knocked on the door. Jatila opened the door who are you? Because she is, as I think it was Becky True and Eric just mentioning, Justina is the original mother-in-law. If you know what I mean. I know about the Indian culture. I've said it a few times to Indian audiences and just got blank expressions in return. But amongst Westerners, mothers-in-law, oh, they're famous. They are too famous. So she is the original, and she's just super heavy, totally heavy. So she's always like this, you know, what's wrong, something must be wrong. So she asks this girl, who are you, what do you want? And the girl, Krishna, said that I am a famous traveling Mendi artist from North India. I have heard your daughter-in-law. I want to decorate her feet. I've heard she's very beautiful. I want to decorate her feet. So the Jatila said, okay, all right. So in came the girl, Krishna, disguised as the female Mendi artist. And she sat down at Radharani's lotus feet and took one of Radharani's lotus feet and started shaking uncontrollably. And Radharani started shaking uncontrollably. And Jatila thought, wait a minute, where have I seen things like this happening before? And this girl is kind of very dark colored. Who does she remind me of? And Radharani, shaking, said to the Mendi artist, are you sure you're going to be able to do this? So the Mendi artist cooled down and started doing these amazing decorations. And she started, as she was doing all these amazing patterns and things, she started singing a song to herself very quietly. And the translation of this song is that, I wish that these 2 feet will decorate the head of Lord Shyam. She's singing this. And Jatila, fortunately, Jatila is half deaf. She's sort of half everything, really. But she's half blind too. She's half crazy. And she's half deaf. And she heard this, and she heard something like, what, And she said, what are you singing? And then the other said, oh, I'm just singing that all glories to Lord Sri Ram. And she said, oh, that's nice. I like Ram. So then Radharani's watching and seeing that actually the girl is writing a message, writing some words on her feet. She's trying to sort of to see, but she couldn't see. Eventually, the girl finished and Radharani looked, and all around both her feet was written, Sham, 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 Sham. Because that's what Krishna wanted, to get the feet of Radharani on his head. And then Jatila came over and said, let me have a look at your decorations. I want to see how good you are. And like we said, fortunately, she is half blind. So she saw this and she said, what does it say? I can't read it. Is it arm or something? And the mending artist. Krishna said, yes, yes. It says, Ram, Ram, Ram. And Jatila was so happy. That's wonderful. I want my daughter to become a devotee of Lord Ram, because he only had one wife. He was very a pious man, not like some others. So Jatila said to Radharani, all right, now this Mendi artist has done such wonderful service. Oh, it is just so beautiful. You have to pay him. And Jatila ordered Radharani, I want you to give this girl a big hug. And Radharani sort of stepped back a bit, big hug. This is Krishna. And Jatila said, don't be like that. Come on, give her a hug. And Radharani and Krishna embraced right in front of Jatila. And as they did so, Radharani was thinking, how amazing these pastimes are. The same person who my mother-in-law, if she sees him come anywhere near me, she just panics. The same person she is now ordering me to embrace. How amazing. And it's true. It's very amazing. There's a very nice story along these lines in regard to Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev was living with his wife in Navadvip, writing Gita Govinda. And this is some good period of time before Lord Chaitanya and before the idea of Radha Krishna and their love being the highest was really propagated at all by practically anybody at all. But Jayadev, he was really into these things and he was writing Gita Govinda, which is about these things. And he would just write whatever came to him. And one day, he just found himself writing something, and he didn't even really know what he was writing, and he looked, and he saw the words, Ye Pada Palavam Udaram, which means, Krishna is the person who worships the lotus feet of Radharani. Ye Pada Palavam Udaram. And he thought, what? How could I have written this? Krishna is God. Everyone must worship his lotus feet. He can't be worshipping anyone's lotus feet. So he thought, somehow I just became absent-minded, my mind wandered, I just wrote some nonsense. So he rubbed it out. And he told his wife, Padmavati, okay, I'm going to go to the Ganges, take bath, I'll be back in half an hour, have lunch ready. And Padmavati said, lunch is ready. You just whenever you come, you can have it. So off went Jayadev. 5 minutes later, who should come back but Jayadev? 5 minutes later. And he said, you know what? As I was walking, I thought of something really nice for this poem I'm writing. And I want to write it down before I forget it. So he sat down, wrote something, and he said, you know, while I'm here, why don't I have lunch anyway? And I'll go down and take a bath later. So he sat down and had lunch. Off he went to take a bath. Padmavati sat down to have her lunch because Vedic sister is, the wife serves the husband the meal. When he's finished, then she eats afterwards. So now she's sitting eating, and, oh, who should walk in completely wet? But Jael, her husband, completely wet. And, you know, how did he get down to the river, take a bath, and come back? And just, this is now not more than 5 minutes since he finished eating and apparently left. Well, now he's back within a couple of minutes, and he's completely wet. And she looked at him and said, "What happened to you?" And he looked at her, and she said, "How did you take bath so quick?" And he said, "What do you mean? I went to the river, I took bath." And he said, "And what are you doing? You're eating before me. What sort of wife are you? You're meant to serve me my lunch, then you eat." And Padmavati's completely shocked. She said, "But you were just here. You came back a few minutes after you left and said you thought of something for your poem. You really wanted to write it down, something important. And you wrote it down, then you had lunch, and then you left to take your bath. And now suddenly you appear completely wet." And they're both just bewildered. And then Jayadev thought, "Oh, I wrote something down when I came back. Let me see what I wrote." And you know what he saw there? Ye pada palavam udaram. That same line had been written in where he had rubbed it out. And then he understood, you know, he understood that was Krishna. Krishna came in my form. And he wrote this himself to confirm that he worships the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So Krishna does like this. He worships his devotees. He drove the chariot of Arjuna, of course, serving his devotee. And someone like Radharani, he'll take the dust from the feet of Srimati Radharani and just rub it on his head as his greatest ornament. Now, earlier, who was it? It was Bhakti Charu Maharaj was talking. He referred to how in Nectar of Devotion Srila Prabhupada mentions, it's just a very brief mention, you can have a look and see in Nectar of Devotion, how Krishna assumed the form of Abhimanyu, and then Abhimanyu came, the real Abhimanyu. Krishna was enjoying with Radharani. The real Abhimanyu came and got chased by Jatila, who had heard, in fact, Krishna disguised as Abhimanyu had said that, you know, Krishna has disguised himself as me and he's going to be coming soon. But there is more to it than that. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a detailed description how one day Srimati Radharani and her girlfriends were leaving the house, leaving the palace in Yavat early in the morning in the month of Magh, which is winter, and it can get really cold there. It can get down to zero. And here they are early leaving the palace, and Kutila, who was Jatila's daughter, the sister-in-law of Radharani, saw them and confronted them. "Where are you going? What do you think you're doing?" Because she knows that wherever they go out, they're only up to no good by her standards. So Radharani said, I have taken a solemn vow. Every morning, early in the morning, in this month of Magh, I will take my religious bath in the Yamuna, even though it's freezing cold, for the benefit of my dear, respected husband, Abhimanyu. And Kutila knows what Radharani thinks of Abhimanyu, but Radharani said this with such a straight face. All the other gopis were just cracking up, laughing and trying to control themselves, but Radharani was completely straight-faced. And off they went, and Kutila thought, there's something going on here. She ran over to Nandagram and found one elderly gentleman walking around and said, dear sir, where is Sri Nandananda this morning? Sri Krishna? And that old man said, oh, that wonderful boy. What a pious boy. He has taken a solemn vow. Every morning, early in the morning, he will take his religious bath in the Yamuna, even though it's freezing cold. Isn't he a wonderful boy? And Kutila knew it's a conspiracy, for sure. So she went racing down to the Ganges. And sure enough, Radha and Krishna, with the gopis, are meeting there at the Ganges. But they have lookouts posted. And the lookout sounds the alarm. Watch out! Here comes Kutila! So Krishna immediately left. And just like 10 seconds later, Kutila burst in on the scene. Now, when it comes to secrecy in Radha and Krishna's pastimes, oftentimes there's great difficulty, particularly in situations like this where Krishna has to quickly escape, because Krishna's body is extremely fragrant. And wherever he has been, even if he leaves, the fragrance stays in the air for quite some time. So he had just gone a matter of seconds ago, and Kutila came in and she smelt, aha! And she said to Radharani, she said, I can smell Hari is nearby. Hari is Krishna. Radharani, being very clever, and Sanskrit language, many words having 2, 3, 4, a number of meanings depending on the context, rather, and the word Hari having lion as a secondary meaning, Radharani said, oh, you mean you can smell a lion? Oh, you have saved our lives. We are just weak, defenseless girls. You have saved us. Thank you so much. And all the other gopis laughed. And Kutila understood, well, he's gone, so what can I do? And off she went. However, Krishna had just assumed the disguise of Abhimanyu. And as Kutila's walking away, Krishna approached her and said, what are you doing here, sister? And she said, you know what? I almost caught your wife, Radharani, meeting with that rascal, Krishna. I almost got them. And Krishna disguised as Abhimanyu said, well done, good try. Better luck next time. And then Krishna disguised as Abhimanyu said, you know what I heard? I heard Krishna has disguised himself as me. And Kutila said, no, no, he wouldn't dare do that. And Krishna disguises Abhimanyu said, yes, I've heard that. And I have heard that he, Krishna disguises me. He is going to try to enter Yavat, into our palace, at exactly the same time I normally come home every day, and claim to be me, and try and meet with my wife. And Kutila said, no. And Krishna disguises, as Abhimanyu said, so what I will do, I will take my defenseless wife back to Yavat, and I will have to go in with her into her rooms and lock the door from the inside and protect her. And what you do, you get all the cow dung that we have piled up, and you and Mother Jatila make it into big cow dung balls. The big ones, heavy ones. And then you get up on the wall, over the entranceway into the palace. And when that rascal comes, disguised as me, at the same time that I normally come home, you just throw the cow dung balls on him and smash him. And mark my words, he, well, also, you smash him and you curse him and you just chastise him and just let him have it. And mark my words, he will tell you that he is me. And when he does that, then you know he's a rascal. And then you throw more cow dung balls. So Kutila said, fantastic idea. So they went back. Krishna disguises Abhimanyu, took Radharani back. They locked themselves in the rooms there from the inside and had wonderful pastimes together. Jatila and Kutila made these big cow dung balls and went up on the wall over the entranceway. And when the real Abhimanyu came, at the normal time, he comes home, and he's just putting his hand out to open the door. Suddenly, bang! Crash! Smash! These huge cow dung balls, he was just smashed to the ground. Now he's on his back, looking up. Who's doing this? It's my mother and sister. And he called out, what are you doing? And they were cursing him and swearing at him. And Jatila said, we know who you are. And Abhimanyu said, of course you do. I'm Abhimanyu, your son. And Jatila said, we knew you would say that. That proves you're a rascal. And they threw more cow dung balls. And they chased him away. So Abhimanyu, the real Abhimanyu, went to Mathura to get an exorcist. He assumed his mother and sister were possessed by Tickle-wash. And in the meantime, Krishna and Radharani had nice pastimes in Srimati Radharani's quarters. Yes, so many things happen. And Aarti happens too. Should we have Aarti? Okay, so we will have Aarti. Don't go away. We will continue with more afterwards. Shri Shri Radha Radha Nath ki. Shri Radha Stani Mahotsavai ki. Shri Radha Radha.